So my name is Mark Allen. I play bass up here, and I also volunteer with the youth group we have with Bethany. And I honestly have to come before you today with a lot of humility, because I'm talking about a subject that I personally need work on every day. It's something that, as I've been preparing and studying for this, I've had a lot of things that have been in my life that show that this is something I need to work on. I need to focus on this. At the beginning of this month, with our youth group, we went to this youth conference called Districts over in Green Bay, and they had a big focus on loving God there and loving who He is. And I also, at that time, started reading this book, Crazy Love, by Francis Chan. I recommend this book highly. The tag on the front is Overwhelmed by a Relentless God. That's what this book is about, is loving God. And the reason I think this is such an important topic and something I need to work on daily is because Jesus said it. When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He said in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. The greatest commandment. This is what Jesus is saying is the most important thing, top priority. This is what matters most. So all these things reminded me of these. I'm thinking, how do I love God? How is that in my life? And it reminds me of this example of David. He writes in a psalm, Psalm 63. And this is verse 1 through 4 in there. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. As in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift my hands. At the top of this section in the Bible, it's talking about how this is a psalm that David wrote while he was in the wilderness of Judea. And I want you to imagine a desert. This is a Middle Eastern desert. I've got a picture to maybe help you imagine this. Imagine how it would be to be in this land, no water, just walking around out there. I mean, have you guys ever experienced, like, deep thirst? Where you're just, I need water. Maybe it's one of those nights you wake up in the morning and your mouth is just dry and you need to get water right away. It reminds me of a time when I was in high school. We had football practices during the summer. So usually we happening earlier in the day. And we end around noon, right at noon. And the last practice of our summer schedule, we would have these things called the watermelon races. And we'd be running the whole practice, doing all the plays and everything we need to do. And it'd be getting hotter and hotter throughout the day. And eventually we get to the last part, and we have to do our last sprints. And what we do with these sprints is we have to run with watermelons above our head. And by this point, we're tired. We're thirsty, we're just ready for the day to be over. And we have this last thing, now we gotta run with watermelons above our head, which is kind of weird and awkward if you ever had to do that. Probably not, it's weird. But after we did that, we'd split up in all those watermelons and all of us would just feast on just a pile of watermelons. It was the best tasting watermelon ever. And I really like watermelon too, so it was fantastic. So, David's saying, I thirst for you, God. Do we have this view? Do we thirst for God? Do we desire Him like being in a desert, like being thirsty in a land with no water? Do we want God that much? And David, he gives some reasons for why he views God this way. First off, he says, His power and glory. So power can be defined as might or authority. It's omnipotence, all-powerful, power over all things, authority over everything. That means God can say something and it happens. He is ruler over all of existence. He can tell the sun to stop shining and it happens. He can tell the sea to be quiet and it stops. That's power. He controls life. He gives all of us breath. And He can take it away in a second. He's that powerful. And glory, this one's a little harder to find, but I found a definition, and this one says, it's the infinite beauty and greatness of God's perfections. So things like his character and worth and his attributes. There's a part in the Bible, it's Revelation 4, where John, he gets this vision, and I just want you to kind of imagine what this is like in this vision here. It's kind of hard to picture because he's just grasping for words as he describes this. But you can close your eyes if you want to and just listen along. But he says he was standing before this throne in heaven, and on the throne there's one seated who had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. Those are two red stones. Imagine a person who looks like red stones. And around this throne there was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. I don't even know what that looks like. A rainbow that's like an emerald. And then there were 24 thrones around this throne. And on those thrones were seated 24 elders. I don't know who these people are, but apparently they're people of importance. They're all clothed in white, and they have these golden crowns on their head. And then around the throne, there were crashes of lightning and rumbles and peals of thunder. Just imagine that for a second. It's truly like an awe-inspiring view right there. There's more. There's seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. Again, I'm not sure what those are, but there's a sea of glass that's like crystal in front of the throne. There's four living creatures, and this is weird. They have eyes all around and inside and front and behind. Eyes everywhere. What does that mean? One of them has the appearance of a lion, one has the appearance of an ox, one has the appearance with the face of a man, and one is like an eagle in flight. These are not creatures I would want as a pet. Each of them had six wings, and they, day and night, never ceased to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Nonstop, you're hearing this at this throne. And whenever the living creatures give glory to God, the 24 elders will fall down before the throne and they'll cast their thrones before it, the one on the throne, and say, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you were created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." I mean, just this is the power. Words just don't fit the situation for what you're seeing. Like I said, John's just grasping for words probably to describe this. Maybe there's some easier things for us to visualize here in creation. In Psalm 19, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." So we can look at some creation that shows God's glory and his power. As I was studying, I looked into how big our universe is. There are 100 billion galaxies right now, and they expect that number could easily double as technology advances, even triple. 100 billion with a B. Our one galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy, is it's pretty big, not super big, but our sun is almost 93 million miles from Earth. Across, if you want to go all the way from one side of our galaxy to the other, it's 100,000 light years. And to give you an idea for how far that is, 7.5 times around the Earth is 1 light second. Just 1 second of light's travel speed. So there's about 31.5 million seconds in a year. So that ends up being 6 trillion miles across our galaxy. One out of 100 billion galaxies. It's just massive. Makes me feel really small. So we get a little smaller maybe. There's this thing called glowing sand. There's a small island. There's a picture of it here. There's a small island in the Indian Ocean where there's a sand where the waves come in. It looks like this. It's blue. It glows blue. And what's happening here is there's plankton in the water that when it's experiencing stress, and as it moves, it starts glowing. I mean, God didn't have to make this type of thing for us to see. I mean, it's one small island. We don't see this on beaches around our place. But he put this in there. There's a tree called the rainbow eucalyptus. It's a picture of its bark. What happens with this tree is it peels off little pieces here and there, and it reveals the green, and as it's revealed for longer amounts of time, it starts changing to these reds and these oranges and blues and all these other colors. And just, I mean, look how beautiful that is. Imagine a tree like that in your front yard. That would be amazing. So all these little things, I mean, how big our universe is, we just recently discovered all these things. There's been thousands of years of human existence where they had no idea all that was out there. Maybe you never have seen these trees or the glowing sand before, but God has it there. Because he's creative and powerful and glorious. And then the other reason that David mentions is God's steadfast love. And the example that I have of God's steadfast love is in the New Testament. It's in John 13. It's the night Jesus is about to be betrayed. And he's going to be turned over to go to death. And what he does is he gathers his disciples and he starts washing their feet. These dirty feet from travel, he starts washing them. Who knows what kind of cuts or infections or funguses or other things that could be on these feet, calluses. I mean, nowadays we have nice foot care and we still end up getting those types of things. Imagine them just walking around in this dirt all the time. But Jesus takes the role of the servant and he gets down, takes off his outer layer, and starts washing his disciples' feet, his followers' feet. He is in charge of them. They're following him, and he serves them. He takes this role of a servant. Imagine, if you would, the CEO of McDonald's. Okay. He comes down and starts washing the teenage cashiers at McDonald's cars. I mean, that just doesn't make sense. You think the CEO would hire the teenagers to wash his car. People making minimum wage and the CEO making millions of dollars. But this is reversed how you'd expect it. There's an example, Iron Man from the Marvel movies. There's a part where he is expecting to die, kind of similar to how Jesus is about to go die. But when Tony Stark, Iron Man, realizes that he's dying, he throws this giant party, puts a suit on, and he starts showing off to everybody at the party. And he actually puts everyone at the party in danger. So where Iron Man suits up and shows off, Jesus strips down and serves. I mean, that's love for people. There are many examples in the Bible of God's love for us. In Psalm 136, it's 26 verses long. Every single verse says that God's love is steadfast in there. They repeat that phrase over and over, just to emphasize how true it is. Ephesians 3:19, God's love surpasses understanding. Romans 8:35 through 39, nothing compares to the love of God. Or nothing can separate us from the love of God. Excuse me. Matthew 5:45, God sends sun and rain even on the wicked, on the evil. He loves everyone, and he sends these things that they don't deserve, but he gives it to them anyways. Ephesians 5:2, 32 describes the church, all believers, as Christ's cherished bride. And Romans 5:8 shows the greatest demonstration of God's love. That while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still going against what God wants, he died for us. Let's go back to that CEO picture. Imagine this teenage cashier is stealing from the register, rude to customers, slacking off, spitting in food. And that's when the CEO comes along and says, okay, I'm going to wash your car. I know about this stuff, but I'm washing your car. I mean, remember Judas was at that Last Supper where Jesus washed the feet. You would not expect that. You'd expect them to be kicked out of the McDonald's right there and then. But no, he serves. Jesus knew we'd miss his standard. We'd miss his mark, so he made a way because he wants us to be with him. That's his love for us. Back in Psalm 63, David continues and says that God satisfies his soul and he will cling to God. I mean, do you see why David would feel this way? Does this make sense to you? Would you feel this way? Do you feel this way right now? Do you say that God satisfies your soul and you cling to him? Because there's a lot of things that can get in our way. There's a lot of things that can come into our life that distract us. When we have a longing in our life or we want something, we can satisfy it with a lot of different things. And honestly, we have a ton of things that we can satisfy ourselves with in today. I mean, tons of channels on TV and all these things. There's materialism. We can buy stuff. We can be getting new cars, new TVs, new sound systems, video games, music. We can invest in hobbies. We can do all these things just to entertain ourselves and keep us busy. We can get caught up in ambition. We can seek money, seek to be rich, seek to get a good job that will pay well, build our knowledge up. We can try to build our reputation up. We can seek awards or recognition. There's also relationships that we can get caught up in. It could be friendships, it could be a husband-wife relationship, it could be relationships with parents or children. You can get caught up in other people's lives. I know people who watch people on YouTube and they just kind of talk about their life and they watch them and they just delve into their lives. There's grudges that we can hold against people and we think we are right in our grudges against them. There's all these things that we can feel satisfaction in. And then there's sinful activities that we can get involved in too. All these things can keep us from God. We can find satisfaction in those things rather than God. We can say those satisfy our soul rather than God satisfying our soul. It's like there's this restaurant that I really like. It's called The Melting Pot. I don't know if you've heard of this. I've been to it a few times. It's pretty fancy. It's a fondue place. And when I go there, there's this meal that I like to get. It's a four-course meal. First off, you start off with this Wisconsin trio cheese fondue. You get these really nice breads and veggies that you can dip in it. So good. Absolutely delicious way to start this meal off. Then there's the salad where they have a bunch of signature dressings that you all can have on it. Followed by the main course where it's called the Land and Sea Entree. And you get a bunch of filet mignon, some premium chicken, and some succulent shrimp. Yeah, makes you hungry. And they have all these different types of dipping sauces that you can put them in. So good. And then to top it all off, for dessert, cookies and cream marshmallow dream. It is so good. You get a whole bunch of a plate full. It's just full of all these Rice Krispies and marshmallows and all these other things that you can dip in this. So good. And by the end of that meal, I am very satisfied. But you know what? There's another thing I like. Peanut butter pretzels. They're delicious. They got a nice salty outside and good creamy peanut butter on the inside. Really good. So, what would I choose? The four-course meal or peanut butter pretzels? Yeah. I mean, it's obvious to pick the four-course meal. But when we settle for those other things that we seek satisfaction, it's peanut butter pretzels. We can fill ourselves up on peanut butter pretzels all day and not even want that other meal. Be so stuffed full of those things that that doesn't interest us anymore. Not all those things are bad. Not all peanut butter pretzels are bad. Like, it's okay to have those a few times, but if they replace the meal, it becomes a bad thing. When we are focusing on the snacks, we don't grow. There's this quote by C.S. Lewis that says, "We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." Mud pies are a trip to the beach. This infinite joy is offered us, and we choose these other things. I mean, how many of you have ever had a kid open a present on Christmas Day, and they got this cool toy, and they play with the box? But why does this happen? I think a lot of it can come down to, there's a term in Crazy Love here. It's called spiritual amnesia, where we hear these stories about God, and we see all these things, we learn about his greatness, but we grow familiar with them, and we forget about them. We get bored by hearing them over and over and over, and we get weary about them, and then we just kind of forget about them, and they don't have the impact anymore. And a way to kind of test yourself is there's this game, Would You Rather, where you get the offer of two things, and then you get to pick one. You get one or the other. So would you rather have financial security or God? Would you rather have a happy marriage or happy relationships or happy family or God? Would you rather have health or youth or God? Knowledge or God? Great achievements, thriving ministries or God? Because these are all things that we can seek after and replace God. And the truth is, if we seek those things, we're missing who God really is. Because the truth is, God alone completely satisfies us. We can't add anything to God to make him better. So we need to remember who God is. We need to immerse ourselves in God. We have to be intentional and consistent in these things. And there's different ways we can do this. Through Bible study and prayer time. Get in your Bible and pray. If you need help, there's plenty of helps out there. There's devotionals that we can read. There's a ton of study Bibles out there. Reading plans you can get onto. If you need help remembering to pray, we actually have this opportunity that's pretty awesome. That's with our youth group. It's our GAP initiative, so Godly Adults Praying. And what it is, it's an adult praying for a student. And we still need some people who are doing that. And you get this nice jar that has topics that you can pray for the student each day. You just pull out a topic and you read it, and you can pray. And you can put it in a place where you'll remember it, you'll see it, and you can remember to do it every day. And that can be your reminder to pray. Some people I know set timers on their phones. So every day it goes off at a certain time, and that's when they go pray and read their Bible. Another way is you can get into nature. Go see nature. The complexity and beauty that's in nature. Sunsets. The various types of animals. How big oceans are. How powerful thunderstorms can be. I mean, all these things show God's power and glory. We can be encouraged by other believers. Here's the church. We should be encouraging each other and saying how great God is to each other. We have small groups that you can be a part of. There's the Right Now Media that you can watch, and has a whole bunch of different programs you can watch to talk about God. You could journal and mark out what God's done in your life and go back to it and remember what God's done. But all these things we need to do to immerse ourselves in God so we keep remembering this, so we don't have this spiritual amnesia that just keeps happening and we kind of get tired of things and grows old. We need to be intentional. It's like an escalator. If you stop walking, you're going to start going down. We need to continually taking those steps up. It's not like we're intentionally going down, but if you stop, you start sliding down. There's a parable in the Bible that talks about a man who finds a treasure in a field. And he realizes that this treasure is so valuable that he goes and sells everything he has to acquire this field so he can have that treasure. Are we willing to give up everything for God? To not have anything else that we put in front of him in our lives? Some people might think this is unfair, that God says, you have to choose me as the first priority. But honestly, it's not unfair because God's saying you need to pick the best thing and don't settle for anything less. You need me, don't settle for anything less than that. So if you don't believe this, I challenge you to give it a try. Take some time, immerse yourselves in God. As Aaron's been saying, we can build ourselves, block off these things in our lives that maybe can be these distractions, get rid of the peanut butter pretzels for a while, and focus on God. Because there are a lot of things that do get in the way. We can be unwilling to let things go. There may be grudges or hobbies or different sins that we just don't want to get rid of in our lives. These things are too precious to us. We don't want to get rid of them. We can be prioritizing ourselves that we want to be the one who calls the shots in our life. We get to choose our direction. We can be forgetting who God is, or be distracted constantly, or doubt him. There can be fear about what others would think. Just how can we be ashamed of this God that we serve? So, real quickly, I'm going to just say a prayer. And you can pray this along with me if you want. If there's anything that you want to give over to God right now, this would be a good time to do it. You can just pray this along with me. Jesus, I need to give myself up. I'm not strong enough to love you and to walk with you on my own. I can't do it, and I need you. I need you deeply and desperately. I believe you are worth it. You are better than anything else I could have in this life or the next. I want you, and when I don't, I want to want you. Be all in me. Take all of me. Have your way in me. Amen. I just want to encourage you. This isn't about fooling anybody else here. It's not about fooling me or Aaron or anybody else in this room. Because God knows your heart. He knows what we love, and we know he knows if we love him. And the great news is where we fail in this area, his grace covers us. So in a little bit, we're going to be able to sing some songs of praise to God, and I just encourage you to just go all out and praise him. So I'm going to pray one more time. So pray with me. God, just thank you that you are so awesome and powerful. You love us. Thank you for that. And just help us to find that every day, how amazing you are. And just help us to immerse ourselves in you. In Jesus' name, amen.